This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport. The Southampton Fans Show on Love Sport with ImpactSports.uk, the latest power brand for CBD.
Good evening, this is the Southampton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with myself, Miles Blumsome. If you're sitting there going, hold on, where's Charlie? Where's the Spurs fans? They're on Love Sport London, so what you need to do is change your radio over on DAB or online to Love Sport London, where the Spurs Fan Show continues for the next half an hour. Here though, Southampton Fan Show, haven't had a game over the weekend, not since last Tuesday, the FA Cup defeat to Spurs, before that the loss against Liverpool. Winter break, very short winter break for Southampton, only 9 days. We are going to be talking about that. We are going to be looking towards the game against Burnley this weekend at St Mary's. 0208 7020 558 is our number here at Love Sport Radio. Southampton fans, you can call us. Let us know what you think about the winter break. 9 days, is it enough for Southampton? Other teams are getting 15, 16 days. It's a long, lot longer. Is it going to be enough for a refresh? You can also drop us a message on WhatsApp, 0208 7020 558, or of course tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Right, luckily, it's not just me that badges on about Southampton throughout this show over the next half an hour. I'm joined now on the line by Freddie Hunt from the Ugly Inside podcast. Freddie, how are you today?
I'm okay. I think I've contracted some sort of virus having flown back from the Far East the other day.
Right, okay. Are you quarantined at the moment?
No, I'm only joking. Probably just a bit of a cold knocking about. The storms are coming, and I hope there's a storm for Saints this weekend.
Yeah, I bet. Not a bad time for the winter break, I don't think, actually. It's been a really good time to be a Saints fan recently. Last couple of games, the 4-0 loss to Liverpool, which, to be fair, flattered Liverpool, the scoreline. Southampton played quite well in the game. Definitely shouldn't have been 4-0 losers. Liverpool, of course, are a different animal at the moment. And then a very unlucky FA Cup defeat to Tottenham, late penalty. Whether Son Heung-min should have stayed on his feet or not is a debatable topic. Do you think the winter break's come at a good time for the squad to just refresh, re-energise, to get back to winning ways, which has been the story of Saints over the last sort of 2 months?
I mean, to be honest, looking at it, actually, Southampton's had the shortest of winter breaks because we had to play that replay against Tottenham. We've only got a paltry 9 days compared to 15 or 16 that perhaps Everton and Chelsea and Man United have had. But, I mean, as you say, perhaps the Liverpool result knocked the wind out of ourselves to some extent, and it wasn't really a 4-0 result. We showed bravery and battled pretty hard at Anfield a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, Jose Mourinho, I don't know whether that was his PR machine in overdrive, saying that the best team lost on that FA Cup replay. But, you know, we got through these two games. Okay, the cliche is we can now focus on the Premier League. I think we only need about 5 or 6 more points to guarantee our place in the division next season. And looking at the next few results, they're all very winnable.
Is that still the goal, guaranteeing your spot in the division, not top 10 at this point? Because, you know, level on points with Arsenal now in 10th, which seemed crazy when Southampton were in the relegation zone going into sort of November, December time. You still think just staying up's the goal, considering how well they've been playing?
I think it's the first goal. Don't get me wrong, I think a top 10 finish would be fantastic and, you know, a huge turnaround considering where we were at the end of October. We won't mention that result on this show today, that's for sure. But I mean, sure, let's get to. I mean, Ralph actually admitted this in a recent interview today that we'll get to 36 points and we'll start discussing contracts, including his own. And I think he should be rewarded with an extension at least to his current deal. And I think, you know, if we look at it in historical context, 3 or 4 years ago, when they charged to Europe, we were on a similar amount of points at this stage of that season. So who knows? You know, we could pick up a handful more wins and could see ourselves firmly in the top half and perhaps even be knocking on that door for maybe seventh place.
Yeah, it's been a very, very up and down topsy-turvy. Just a crazy Premier League season in general. Kyle Walker-Peters coming in, Cedric Suarez leaving. Does that excite you? Because Cedric's been one of the better performers for Southampton throughout the season. Him coming back into the side coincided with the upturn in form.
Yeah, I mean, Cedric, his performance has picked up in the last couple of months. But I think most people kind of shrugged a little bit. You know, like that Alan Partridge meme you see around the internet. He just sort of shrugs at the dinner table. Because Cedric sort of burnt a bit of his bridges in around October, November time. He said, at the end of the season, I will be leaving Southampton, looking for a new challenge or whatever he said. So I think it was probably a wise idea to perhaps, you know, cash in on him at this time with only 6 months left of the deal. There's details about £5 million on a loan fee and then he'll be going on a free. So it's probably a good time to cash in because I think it was quite clear and obvious, not like some of the decisions recently, but perhaps his decisions no longer play for the football club. But performances on the pitch have picked up and he's played an important part in the team and in our resurgence. And, you know, of course, played a part in the Europa League campaigns a few seasons ago. So he's been a good servant 4.5 years.
Do you think Kyle Walker-Peters can replace him or is he going to come in as understudy for Jan Valeri?
Well, this is the strange thing. Jan Valeri's been out with this mystery illness, contracting some sort of lazyitis since November. Or can't be bothered-itis. I'm not sure what's going on, but Valeri hasn't played a minute of football since then. And he won't be fit for the weekend. Walker-Peters has apparently mooted for a starting position at the weekend. And he's, you know, he's got Premier League experience. He's ready to go. He's played a handful of games for Tottenham this season. And I think Walker-Peters is more likely to start over the two.
Let's talk more about this weekend. Burnley at St Mary's, 12:30 on Saturday, kicking off the weekend's football. Are you excited? Because Burnley, again, have been up and down. They look like they were sliding towards the relegation zone, have had a couple of good results. They're unlike playing any other side in the league, really. They play that old school, they play that long ball, they'll mix it up. Is it a game you're looking forward to, you'd expect to dominate?
Well, this is a game that we're targeting. Home fixtures, you know, against, I guess, teams around us, both of us on 31 points. They're only currently above us on goal difference. That result at Liverpool didn't help us. So we were slowly chipping away at that. But, I mean, Burnley, if you look at that game, the very first day of the season, they used the wind and the rain to their advantage, lumping it long, you know, throwing elbows, targeting Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes. Thankfully, the latter of those two is out for the weekend, so we won't be seeing any of that. But it's a game that we need to dig in and show some grit and determination and get stuck in. I'm hoping for a home win. I think we're probably favourites on the old bookmakers, that sort of thing. But it's a game that we need to target. And, you know, looking at it positively, at least a top half position until the end of the weekend.
Yeah, you mentioned the elbows being thrown in by Burnley players, how they chuck it up to them, they play to their strengths. What do you think the best way to combat that is? Is it to try and mix it up and play their style, or is it to keep the ball away from them, keep it on the deck, play around them and get in behind where you can?
Yeah, I think play to our advantage. We've been trying to play out from the back, trying to play slick football. We press it, opponents into mistakes. So if they keep it on the floor, then we have every chance of winning this football game. But I think it's likely that Sean Dyche will probably employ those tactics, using the rain for his advantage to look for his target men. And I think we need to show some steel and some metal in the middle of the park. We've got Romeo and Højbjerg that are willing to get stuck in. Ward-Prowse might be in the team for the weekend. Who knows the extent of his gash on his knee from the Tottenham game. But he showed a bit of extra steel and grit and a nasty streak to his character recently too.
Do you expect Danny Ings to start? Because Hasenhüttl has been rotating him. I know with the 9-day break for Southampton, it's not a load, but he will have hopefully got himself some rest. House Newsall, I think, has managed things very well in terms of his injury record to keep him fit through the season. He's a key player. Do you expect him to be starting up front, or can you see him coming off the bench?
100% Danny Ings will start this game. And, you know, he's in a hot streak of form. He's sort of, you know, died off a little bit for the last couple of weeks. Didn't score at Anfield, but scored at the Tottenham Hotspur game the week before last. And, you know, was it sort of 17 now for the entire season in all competitions? The only man to get that amount of goals in a single season was James Beattie in 2002-03. So if Danny Ings keep popping the goals in, you know, who knows, he can get 20, 24, 25 goals. But I'm 100% sure Danny Ings will start this game at the weekend.
Looking ahead, it's actually six winnable games on the bounce for Southampton. Burnley this weekend, Aston Villa at St Mary's the weekend after, then travelling to West Ham, who haven't been very good at all recently. Newcastle at home, Norwich away, even Arsenal at home on the 22nd of March is a winnable game. It's a really good run of fixtures at a crucial time for Southampton in terms of, like you said, solidifying their status in the Premier League and then maybe moving up into the top 10, because you win the majority of these. These are teams around you, Burnley, Newcastle, Arsenal especially, are teams that are fighting in that mid-table area.
Yeah, I mean, it's, as I say, these are the types of games that we need to target, win our home games, and we're better also away from home. So, you know, if we Burnley this weekend, and it's a cliche, but we'll take one game at a time. Yeah, hopefully 3 points this weekend. Aston Villa, who are fighting for their lives, and then go into a stadium where it's probably going to be toxic at the London Stadium at the end of the month. You know, I think by the end of this month, we will know, I guess, our next objective for the rest of the season. Because if we get three of these wins, we're now on 40 points by the end of the month. So 40 points is the safety mark. That's the cushion. And I think we can safely, you know, play with some confidence till the end of the season. And it's a real justification of the turnaround of Ralph. You know, the board sticking with him after that humiliation in October, and to turn it around like that, playing some confident football. The boys are brimming with confidence right now, and they're just wanting to get on the ball.
Is this Southampton model of keeping Housenhüttl going to be something that we're going to see more often in the Premier League, do you think? Just looking at how it's worked at Southampton. After the 9-0 loss at Leicester, I know we weren't meant to mention that, but occasionally we have to bring it up. It would have been so easy for the higher-ups at Southampton to pull the trigger and sack Housenhüttl because, you know, in the relegation zone, there would have been cause. I don't think people would have gone, oh, that's a shocking decision necessarily, but they've decided to stick with their guns. It's been rewarded. We've seen such a sacking culture in the Premier League for so many years now, which hasn't necessarily worked. You look at teams like Sunderland, who went through so many managers, they would refresh for a month or two and then get back into this losing streak, just about stay up, and eventually fallen all the way into League One. Is this going to become a trend in the Premier League, that managers are actually maybe going to be given the time they need to properly influence a side?
Yeah, I mean, it's a credit to the board and our philosophy and our model to stick with the manager. I mean, we finished with our objectives sort of last season with a few games to spare to stay up in the division, and it's a work in progress for Ralph. So had we pulled the trigger in October, we would have had to start again. We're back to square one, you know, going back to a short-term manager to give us a bit of a feel-good factor and then to just bin him off for the next season. So we know we've been there. We're trying to learn from our mistakes, and I think Ralph is in for the long-term future.
Freddie, last question and just a quick one. Score prediction for Saturday.
Well, I think should the game even go ahead, hopefully it's not Storm Dennis the Menace. but I think there's going to be goals in this. I think we're going to go for a 2-1 home victory. Danny Ings on the score sheet.
Nothing wrong with being optimistic. Freddie, thank you for joining us. Freddie Hunt from the Ugly Inside podcast. Freddie, cheers, mate. Thank you so much for your time.
The Southampton Fans Show on Love Sport with ImpactSports.uk. The latest power brand for CBD. This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Southampton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Myself, Miles Blumsome, with you for the next 30 minutes. Tottenham fans, over onto Love Sport London. You need to go for Charlie Hawkins and the guys from Last Word on Spurs, going through all of the Tottenham Hotspur news. We're talking Southampton. Coming to the end of a very, very short winter break. It's not just me who's joining you for the next 10 minutes or so. We've got Steve Grant on the line from the Total Saints podcast. Steve, welcome to the Southampton Fan Show. How are you today?
Yeah, not too bad. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. This 9-day break that Southampton have had, it's not much of a winter break when you compare it to some of the other teams, as Freddie was talking about before. Do you think that's a disadvantage to Southampton, or are you in the don't need a winter break camp, actually momentum? I know there's been a couple of losses, but momentum of performances in recent months in the league is good to carry on.
Yeah, I'm kind of fairly cynical about the whole winter break thing anyway. It seems to be more geared towards the Champions League sides basically having a couple of weeks off before they then go full pelt for the Champions League knockout stages, rather than actually caring too much about the welfare of particularly English teams, the English players, if you like, in the build-up to the Euros in the summer. Obviously, given that seemingly half the first choice England team's already out injured anyway, I'm not sure it's really much of an impact. And yeah, as you say, I mean, we've built up a little bit of momentum, and obviously we were on the wrong end of results against Liverpool and Spurs, but performances in both games were very encouraging, I think. And now we go into a run of games against teams that certainly on paper you would say we've got a very strong chance of picking up a significant amount of points. I mean, realistically, we probably only need 7 or 8 between now and May to make sure we're playing Premier League football again next season. So in actual fact, you're probably looking up the table rather than down it, I think.
Could you take the 9 days as a positive in regards to, I know players may get a bit more tired is one of the problems, but they haven't had as much time to lose any fitness, you know, if they have gone on holiday. And I know Premier League players tend to have the right attitude, but say someone's decided, you know what, I'm going to go away for this period of time to somewhere flash and have some fun. I'm not really going to worry about my fitness and my exercise. For the Southampton players, that's going to be, what, 3-4 days. So they won't have had time to actually lose much fitness.
Yeah, I think, as far as I'm aware, most of them only had, as you say, 3 or 4 days off. So they'd have been back in training probably Monday, I guess, ahead of obviously a Saturday lunchtime kickoff. It doesn't give you an awful lot of time to, as you say, lose your fitness. But as far as I'm aware, all the players would have probably been given their own sort of routines to work on. Obviously, a lot of them would have gone off to places like Dubai and maybe to America and basically places where they're going to be nice and warm, but they're obviously not poor people, so they're going to be staying in the best hotels with the best facilities.
Lucky for some, right?
They will have gym facilities. They've obviously got beaches and things like that where they can do running that will kind of test certain parts of their legs that you wouldn't necessarily get running sort of on grass or a sort of 3G surface. So I don't have any concerns that any player is going to come back with any issues sort of in terms of fitness. I guess the only thing is sort of mental fatigue. I think that is probably the only tangible benefit I can see to the break at all is kind of players being able to switch off completely.
I tell you what, 4 days in Dubai, I'd love that for my mental fitness. I think they'll be all right.
Yeah definitely. I think that would. It's going to be relaxing for most of them, isn't it? So hopefully they've all come back nice and refreshed. Any sort of minor niggles have been sort of worked out a little bit from just by kind of chilling and not being sort of quite so sort of single-minded and focused on an upcoming game, because obviously that then starts again once you get back to the training ground.
Well, someone who has returned to training is James Ward-Prowse. When I say return to training, he is training. He tweaked his knee against Tottenham, was forced off, as ever-present in the Premier League this season. It's looking like Ralf Hasenhüttl has said that he's hopeful that he'll be involved on Saturday in some capacity, whether that's from the start or from the bench, to keep up his Premier League ever-present record. Been filling in at right back with Cole Walker-Peters coming in. It doesn't look like he'd have to play right back. He is one of Southampton's most influential performers now, this far into his Southampton career. He's really matured in the last year, I think. And having him out would be a big blow, especially against a team like Burnley, where his set pieces might be really important.
Yeah, I think actually the biggest thing that he's brought to our midfield is, particularly since we had the sort of reshuffle and change of formation over the November international break, is that he's moved from a wide position into the centre alongside Pierre Højbjerg, and I think that just gives us a lot more bite. I think Ward-Prowse is kind of misunderstood, I think, at times, in that he does like a tackle. And despite the fact that he doesn't look like the sort of player who would sort of go in and sort of enjoy that sort of environment. He kind of looks like that sort of slight, nimble player who'd prefer to play out on the wing, where he's not going to get kicked to pieces. He's going to be up against smaller players, and he can sort of work his sort of crossing magic from out there. But actually, I think that move into the centre has been the making of his game for us this season, and why he's become such a key player. So I actually think early in the season, he was, to be honest, he was probably one of our worst players around that run of that horrendous sort of run of games. Where, I mean, obviously culminating in the Leicester and Everton home defeats that were particularly bad, that kind of prompted this sort of huge sort of change of direction. Since he's been in the middle, that's been we've been winning games from the work that he and Højbjerg have been doing. Whereas Romeo, who is kind of a more traditional old sort of holding midfielder, but his positional sense has always been a little bit iffy. I think the dynamism of those two that are there now, I think that gives us a lot more balance and kind of gives us that quick spring to launch once we've won the ball back. We can then look forwards a lot more, whereas Romeo would probably take, he'd play the simple pass, probably sideways or backwards, whereas both the other two are looking to go forwards a little bit more.
Ralf Hasenhüttl has come out this week and he's been talking about how he's enjoying more responsibility as managing in the Premier League in comparison to Germany. This is after Jürgen Klinsmann, one of his compatriots, has stepped down from a role at Hertha Berlin after just 76 days, saying that he wasn't supported enough. Hasenhüttl said the opposite and said there's actually more to think about in England. That's why he's here. It feels now that Hasenhüttl really has adapted and has got used to the Premier League, almost to the point where, give it another year, could be starting to be linked with some of the top jobs in the Premier League. Are you slightly worried that you won't have him around Southampton for too much longer?
Yes and no, I think. I mean, let's face it, the last 2.5 years or so, we've not had any of the big clubs linked with any of our players or managers because, quite frankly, they've all been rubbish. So I think, let's face it, most Saints fans would prefer us to go back to the time in the 2 or 3 years previous under the likes of Pochettino and Koeman, where our top players were being constantly linked in the press with moves to bigger clubs. But ultimately, the main reason for that has always been because they've been putting in the performances for us. There's no way that any of these players are going to get a big move elsewhere to a bigger club, maybe to a Champions League side or even to a title contender. There's no way they're going to get those moves if they're putting in the performances we saw in the first half of the season. So ultimately, if Hasenhüttl does well and he's being linked with those moves, it's because the team's doing well and because he's doing a good job. And ultimately, that's all, as fans, that's all we want. I mean, I think most Saints fans are kind of accepting to an extent of our position in the food chain, knowing that you're not going to be able to compete financially with the sort of massive clubs in this league. There's kind of a level where we think that, I mean, you're looking at the likes of, I mean, obviously Sheffield United, Wolves, Leicester are probably outperforming where their kind of finances and their sort of natural level would necessarily take them. So you can do it for a year or two, I think. But realistically, we know where our position is. It's kind of mid-table in the Premier League. Occasionally, we're going to be slightly better. Occasionally, we're going to be slightly worse. And we also know that there's going to be a churn of players and staff on a fairly regular basis. I mean, you don't really get managers that stick around for decades at clubs anymore. Eddie Howe's a very unique situation.
Just going to have to cut in, sorry, just for time, because I really quickly want to just get in a word. Burnley this weekend, what's your score prediction?
I don't think it's going to be pretty. Sounds like the weather's going to be pretty awful again, which, I mean, without delving into too many stereotypes, seems to play into their style a little bit more. I mean, I think we've got the quality to do it. They're not great away from home, so maybe sneak a 1-0, I think.
You take a 1-0 at the end of the day. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. Steve Grant there from the Total Saints podcast. That's it for the Southampton Fan Show. 0208 7020 558 to get in touch as I go over to Love Sport London for the Watford Fan Show. Up next, 8:30, here's the Birmingham City Fan Show. This is Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.